The economy as a Monet. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. So usually we talk about the economy with numbers, GDP, retail sales, jobs numbers, kind of like a photograph of how things are going. But there's another way to read the economy, and it's more like an impressionist painting. 8 times a year, the Federal Reserve publishes something called the Beige Book. It's based on interviews and stories from people and businesses around the country. The latest one is out. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is our economic art critic today.
The Fed's Beige Book is a survey of economic conditions across the bank's 12 districts. It's released ahead of policy meetings to decide on the path of interest rates. The latest report showed easing price increases in almost all Fed districts, and companies surveyed expected wage pressures to continue to ease over the next year. In other words, no big changes to the economy's trajectory. That means the Fed might have plenty of runway before needing to cut rates. Fed Governor Christopher Waller said as much at a virtual forum ahead of the Beige Book's release.
The key is we have the flexibility that we can be methodical and careful. In earlier times, a recession would hit, some bad negative shock, and the FOMC had to move fast, and by a lot. That's not the situation we're facing right now. So we can take our time to make sure we do this right.
So, will the Fed cut interest rates as early as March, as many economists and investors expected heading into this year? Trading on Wall Street suggests investors are reducing their bets on the likelihood of that happening. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
China's economy, as we talked about yesterday, grew at its slowest pace outside the pandemic in decades, 5.2%. Youth unemployment is still pretty high. But for those who have a job, they're working longer hours. In December, the average work week in China was 49 hours. That is 15 hours more than the average workers in the U.S. For more, here's Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai.
Chinese people work longer hours, partly because companies are trying to do the same amount of work with less staff. Also, overtime is baked into China's work culture. In factories, workers get paid a minimum wage plus extra for every product they finish. The more people work, the more they get paid. The high-tech industry is the most extreme, with people working noon till midnight, the so-called 007 work schedule. Tech coders tried to revolt against extreme overtime in 2019, but then China's economy started slowing down. Some tech workers tell Marketplace they stay late not because there's work to do, but because everyone else is still at the office. They want to appear hardworking so that when times are tough, like now, the bosses don't fire them first. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Congress is getting ready to vote on a temporary funding package that would avoid a partial government shutdown Saturday. The Senate reached an initial agreement yesterday, going to vote on that at 12:30 p.m. D.C. time today. If the measure passes the Senate, it would go to the House as soon as tonight. A federal appeals court yesterday said Apple cannot sell watches with a blood oxygen measuring feature. This is all part of a battle over intellectual property. Medical tech company Masimo accused Apple of using its patented technology for measuring blood oxygen without its permission. Apple disagrees and is appealing the decision, but for now it is disabling the blood oxygen feature, and the watches without it are set to go on sale this morning. Apple stock is up 1.8% in pre-market trading.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
Maybe you have noticed ads for breakfast items popping up for restaurants that were not really always that big on breakfast. Taco Bell has breakfast tacos now. Wendy's has English muffin sandwiches. Breakfast and its more formal cousin brunch are in for 2024, according to a recent report from restaurant research firm Technomic. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab takes a look at what is behind it.
Once upon a time,
Brunch was reserved for special occasions like Mother's Day. But now, Dominic Pernomo is serving it every weekend at his restaurant Dayline in New York's Hudson Valley.
You know, I think it's a great way for people to get out and enjoy something, especially for those who have families. They can get out during the day.
Yes, there's that. But brunch also has better profit margins.
For most breakfast places, you know, you're looking at eggs, potatoes, and bread. Those are items that are not especially expensive.
That's always been true. But right now, the prices are stabilizing for many of those breakfast staples, says analyst Sean Dunlop at Morningstar.
So chicken and eggs and dairy and wheat are all set to be deflationary moving into 2024. And as operators are looking to recover to pre-pandemic profitability levels, that's pretty attractive.
Meanwhile, since the pandemic, many fast food restaurants have reduced their dining room hours, which is fine for customers who want breakfast on the go.
A lot of brands will just close the dining room and they'll funnel people through the drive-thru with bare-bones staff.
But it's not just businesses banking on breakfast. Robert Byrne, Director of Consumer and Industry Insights at Technomic, says with inflation, customers are leaning into Eggs Benedict as a way to stick to their budgets and still treat themselves.
That breakfast spend is actually going to be lower. So for a consumer who loves restaurants, we all do, right, to some degree, they're just flipping the script and going to breakfast or brunch because it's less expensive.
That means they have room to order a side of pancakes and maybe a mimosa. The proof? Byrne says 70% of diners order alcoholic beverages at brunch versus 40% at dinner. Plus, Pernomo, the restaurant owner in New York, says diners' habits have changed. They don't like to stay out late anymore. Brunch lets him make up for some of the business he's lost from the dinner crowd.
People are tending to eat earlier now than they have in, I would say, a long time. For a long time, 8 o'clock was the ideal reservation.
Now, dinner peaks at 6, and during brunch, noon. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.